Welcome. This is the weekly Sunday sermon from Rancho Baptist Church in Temecula, California. You can find us at ranchobaptistchurch.org. This week's Resurrection Sunday message by Pastor Jason Swanson, Death is Defeated. The original date of this message was the 9th of April, 2023.
Father, our hope is in you and you alone. We bring nothing to the table except our sin. Father, we bring our dead lives that you, through Christ, have now made alive. Our hope is in Christ alone. That is our bold proclamation this morning, that Christ has risen from the dead, that he is the only one who laid down his life willingly and had the power to take it back up again. He had the authority to do so because he is God Almighty in the flesh. We thank you that no scheme of man could ever pluck us from your hand. Lord, we celebrate this morning the wonderful resurrection of our all-powerful, all-knowing, all-gracious, all-compassionate Savior. Lord, I pray for our gathering around your word this morning as Pastor Jason opens up your word to us, that your word would pierce our hearts. Father, that if there are any here standing here with us today that do not have the hope of Jesus Christ, our Savior, Lord, and King, that you would do your mighty work of salvation to take out that heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Would they see your loving kindness and respond with great faith? May sinners come to repentance today because of your wonderful gospel. Lord, you are good. Thank you for providing the way of salvation through your one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Father, we ask that you would rid all distractions this morning, mainly not just from the outside, but from the inside, Lord. Would we give you our griefs and our sorrow, knowing that you take care of our very hearts and lives? Would we lay down our burdens before you this morning? Father, the conversations that we've had with family and friends already that were pleasing to you and not pleasing to you, would we lay those down as well? We rest in your grace and in your mercy. Would your Holy Spirit pour out your mercy upon us this morning? O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Father, we boldly proclaim this morning that death has been defeated through your Son, Jesus Christ. We love you and we thank you. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
Amen. And good morning. I think I'm mic'd up. Can you guys all hear me? All right, praise the Lord. Well, welcome and thank you, thank you, thank you. On behalf of the pastors, the staff, the elders, our Rancho Baptist Church family, we recognize that you guys could be all sorts of places this morning. And we are so appreciative and we're so thankful that you have chosen to spend time with us this morning. There is nothing greater for me to preach on than what I get to preach on right now. This is the hope of what we have in Jesus Christ. This is what everything is based on when it comes to our Christian faith. You see, if there is no resurrection, then our faith is in vain. And we might as well just live whatever we want to live for right now and get as much of it as we can. But if the resurrection is indeed true, then that changes everything. Because that lets us know that there is a life past this one. And what you do here right now matters. What you do in particularly with Jesus Christ totally matters. It is the most important question that you will ever ask yourself, that you'll ever consider. What do you do with Jesus? What do you do with this day that we celebrate his resurrection? Did he really rise from the dead? Well, enough of me talking. I made this commitment to myself that this morning we would start our time off in God's word and we will end our time off in God's word. And I'm not sure how I'm going to do with or without my sunglasses. We'll figure that out as I go along. Please turn with me to Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. I just want to set the table for us in verse 1. If you don't have a Bible, you can use your phone and find a Bible on an app. Maybe the person next to you has a Bible. Just lean over. They'll share with you, I promise. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. This is the setting. This is where it all begins. Now, after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. Notice what they're doing. They're going to look at a grave. Now, I'm going to assume that by God's grace that many of you children under the age of 12, you haven't gone to a cemetery so much. You haven't gone to a grave to remember the person that was maybe possibly put in that grave. But the rest of us, we can relate. We can get this. As we think of the two Marys going to the tomb, going to the grave site, we get this. Why? Because we have done likewise. We've done similar. Have we not? And as we've gone to the grave site, as we've gone to a cemetery, as we've gone to a memorial service, what kind of emotions are brought up? What do you think of when I bring up the word death? As you rehearse in your mind, perhaps the last time that you went to a cemetery, to a gravesite. No doubt, most of us go to sorrow. Most of us go to something that would be a little bit more dark, somber. But what we're going to see this morning is entirely different. Because something changes. No doubt as these ladies went to the tomb and they went to the grave of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were full of sorrow. They were still confused. They weren't going to the grave thinking that it was going to be empty, the tomb. That's most likely the last thought they had. And yet that is exactly what they find. What is so challenging about what we're going to look at this morning is, how many times have you left a gravesite, a cemetery, excited and full of joy? That's not normally the emotion that you put together with the gravesite, particularly when you leave it. But you know what we're going to see this morning is we're going to see when these ladies leave. Yeah, there's going to be sorrow. What's called even holy fear over what they had just seen, this angel and the message given to them. But they're going to be full with joy. You see, as we go to a gravesite, whether that's a gravesite service or we just go to remember that person at a cemetery, If that person knows the Lord Jesus Christ, if he knew them or if she knew them, do you recognize that when we have a memorial service and we spend time remembering them, that we are full of sorrow, but they are not? That they have gone from this life to the next, and they are in such a better place than we are. That is the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what we have come today to gather together, to spend time in his word, remembering, rejoicing in, and being convinced of. Do you fear death? Or do you look at death now from a different vantage point? As a launch pad to be reunited with your Lord and Savior. I want us to look at the account of Matthew this morning in just these 10 short verses. And I want us to look at it from the perspective of two people. Really, when everything is boiled down, that's what we're left with. There's two kinds of people in the world. And I can say this truthfully this morning, that no doubt here this morning, these two groups are represented. We're going to see these two groups in Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. First, we're going to see the lost. These are represented in what we're going to see, these guards, these soldiers who miss Jesus. They are the lost. But we are also going to see the found. And as simply as I've stated that, that is anything but simple. Because all of eternity is based upon that. Whether you are the lost or whether you are the found. So let's start in verse 1. And let's see Matthew's account. His firsthand eyewitness account. Of what we read in the scripture of how Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Now, after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me." Let's pray for the preaching of God's word, that the Holy Spirit would take over and speak to all of us this morning. Heavenly Father, we stop. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we can know for certain that your word is true. That your word says that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And Lord, we believe that word. We believe your word. We believe that one day you are coming back, Lord Jesus, to take those who are yours. And we pray that everyone here this morning, physically present with us or watching online, that they too would believe in you as their Savior. That they would trust in you and you alone. as the one who bore the punishment, the penalty for their sin, that is why you died. And that you, Lord God, you put your wrath of sin upon Jesus Christ so that your wrath would not be placed upon us, for any of us that would believe in you. And then to show us that you were satisfied, you were pleased with the death of your Son. You then rose him from the dead, and he is alive forevermore. We rejoice in him this morning. And we pray that you, Holy Spirit, would take over, that you would be our teacher, our guide. And it's in the matchless, the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, that we pray. Amen. So where I want to start off with this morning are the guards. These guards who we see in verse 4, the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. It means that they were paralyzed. It means that they just stopped everything that they were doing. But in order to fully grasp what is going on, we need to understand who these guards are. You see, growing up, one of my first jobs was working at Mann's movie theater in Manhattan Beach. And one time when I was working on a Friday morning, we got a big group of, they were gangsters. They were from a gang. And they came into our movie theater and they didn't pay for their tickets. There was about 20 of them, and they just rushed right into the movie theater. They went right into a couple movie theaters, into a couple theaters themselves. The manager quickly got on the phone, and he called two people. He called the mall police, and he called the real police. I still can't believe it to this day, but that mall police came over and tried to stop these guys. He got beat up and ran out of our theater. What kind of guards were these? I don't want to downplay the temple police, but they wouldn't have been as trained as Roman soldiers. And so if these men are Roman soldiers, we need to think of highly trained military men. The elite of the military. And we know that that is who they are because we can see from Chapter 27, verses 62 to 66. Why these men were there, who called them there, and under whose authority they were positioned. And all of this points to the fact that they were positioned there by Pilate. It wasn't Pilate's idea. Look at verse 62. Now on the next day, this is after Jesus was placed in the grave. After the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together with Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember that when he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I am to rise again.' Therefore, give orders for the grave to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal him away and say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead,' and the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard." Really, it means a group of men consisting of a guard. "Go make it as secure as you know how." And they went and they made the grave secure, and along with the guard, they set a seal on the stone. You can't set a seal on the stone unless you are sent by Rome, unless Pilate has sent them. And they would take this clay or this wax and they would press it around the stone, between the edge of the stone and then the entrance. And then as well, they would take the signet of Rome and they would stamp it on there. And this was to let all know, hey, if you go in there, you're messing with Rome and you will pay the consequences. And then these guards were given the task of doing what? Of guarding the tomb. They were supposed to ensure that nobody went there and stole the body. I believe this is a good picture of the lost even before we see the guards. Because these Jewish authorities, these chief priests and these Pharisees, they were lost. Recognize that Jesus had already lived his entire life. He'd already done countless miracles. He'd already proclaimed the truth over and over again that he was God, and then he validated it by how he lived and the miracles that he did. Over and over again, and yet what did they do? They said, no, this can't be. He must get his power from Satan. And they get all the way to the point to where now he is dead. And Satan has accomplished his plan. And they have accomplished their plan. And yet we see that they had heard that Jesus Christ said that he would raise from the dead in 3 days. And so they concoct this weird plan of, well, just in case somebody tries to go and make it look like he rose from the dead, we need to put some guards on duty. And that is exactly what happens. Except for God steps in. And Jesus Christ does what nobody else would ever do or ever has done. He's raised from the dead. And as we see this angel appear, wouldn't you think that when the angel appeared, that these guys would recognize, oh man, this is something different. We've been on task many, many times to do jobs like this. We've never seen something like this. And then they're frozen in fear to such an extent that they're like dead men. And we don't know what that means. But what we do know is they missed Jesus. They missed the words of the angel. And they missed the opportunity to come clean. Look at verse 11 in chapter 28. This is what these guys do next. Now, while they were on their way, that's speaking of the ladies going to tell the disciples what Jesus ended up telling them to tell them, that he's going to meet them in Galilee. So while the ladies are going their way, we see this. Some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all that had happened. I would love to have been there to listen to that. So the tomb is good, right? The body is still there. The stone is still intact. Everything's good. That's what you guys are coming to tell us, right? And then they'd be like, well, not exactly. Okay, so then exactly what did happen? Well, all we can tell you is there was this great big bright guy. And we have to believe he's an angel. I'm sure they knew enough about angels. And then all of a sudden we couldn't move. And then all of a sudden we woke up and the body's gone. Look at verse 12. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said, you are to say his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this should come to the governor's ears, to Pilate, we got you covered. We will win him over and keep you out of trouble. And they took the money and did as they had been instructed. And this story was widely spread among the Jews and is to this day. What do you think about Jesus Christ being raised from the dead? Do you believe that it is true, that it is factual, that it did indeed happen? Or perhaps you're like these guys. Perhaps you're, no, I don't think that's what happened, Pastor Jason. You know, you're a pastor, so you're supposed to believe this. No, you're supposed to believe this. Because Jesus Christ is like no other. And just think for me a minute about this scenario and this this crazy argument as to what they are saying. So somebody comes up to them, to these guards, and they say, okay, so tell me what happened again. The stone was rolled away. Uh-huh. And then his body disappeared. Uh-huh. And who do you say did it? Oh, the disciples. But I thought you were sleeping. How can you know who did it if you were sleeping? And man, what kind of sleeping patterns do you normally have? Because it would have taken a big group, don't you think, to come here and to roll that stone away and then take his body? Do you know there's been all sorts of other arguments raised as to why Jesus Christ didn't really raise from the dead? Some would say, liberal scholars, oh, he didn't actually die. He just passed out. He was in so much anguish and it was so tough on him physically that he didn't actually die. And so then in 3 days, he came to. Well, except for the historical accounts and the biblical accounts let us know they pierced his side and the water was mixed with blood and he was indeed dead. That you can't go through what he did without dying. And yet in the truest sense, it wasn't the cross that killed him. It was our sins. He was accomplishing redemption, being the redeemer, purchasing us and our sin debt. But these Roman soldiers and these elders from the Jewish nation, from the religious sect of the Jews, they miss Jesus. They are lost on who Jesus Christ is. And I pray that that is not a description of you this morning. That you've heard about Jesus and you've drawn all these conclusions and they're all the wrong conclusions. And in the end, we don't know exactly what happens to these soldiers. It could be that they did repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ later. We don't know. But don't you miss your opportunity this morning. That's my point. That's the first point. That's what I believe the Lord wants us to understand. Don't be like these guards. Respond to the truth that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and recognize him as your Savior. That he is the only one who could pay the price of sin on your behalf so that you might live life eternally. So who do we see next? We see the found. And we see them represented in these two ladies. Look again at verses 1 to 2. Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. This must have freaked them out. Why? Again, because I don't believe they had any idea that Jesus was going to be gone. We're told in the other gospel accounts that there was actually more than two ladies. Matthew just emphasizes the two Marys. But there's Joanna and Salome. They join with these ladies as well. We're told in Luke 24, verse 1, why they were going. They weren't just going on an early morning hike. They were going with purpose and intention. You see, they had started a job that they hadn't finished. And that job was the anointing of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That began on that Friday night with Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. You see, they wrapped his body in these linen cloths, and the linen cloths had these burial herbs on them that would allow his body not to stink too quickly. But there were other ointments they were supposed to be putting on him. And so that's what these ladies did, but they were stopped because of the Sabbath, because they couldn't work on the Sabbath. So they only got half of the job done. And then what? Then they waited for the Sabbath to end. And as soon as the Sabbath was ended, they went and they bought what they needed in order to go back to the tomb, in order to finish the job that they had begun. Some would say, as an argument that Jesus never rose from the dead, and this one doesn't make any sense either, that they got confused, that they went to the wrong tomb. And if somebody would have just told them, hey, take a left, then you'll find the body. The problem is they were there on Friday. They knew exactly what tomb Jesus was in. So they knew exactly where they were going. They knew what they were doing, why they were going there. And do you know what was the greatest thought in their minds as they were heading there? This is what the Gospels say. How are we going to move that big stone? That's what they were most concerned with. How are we going to move that great big monster stone to get in there to finish this job so that we can have and others can come back and spend time remembering Jesus with his dead body without the stench just driving us away? And if you've been in a climate like this, which we spent nearly 20 years in, within 3 days, the stench would be so that you wouldn't want to get within 50 feet of that body. Isn't it interesting that of all the people that the Lord would reveal himself to in his first presence, appearing to, and is after his resurrection is who? These ladies. Not to the disciples, not to the men. He appears to them. Man, this is so sweet. This is a good reminder for us all what? That ladies matter to the Lord. That ladies matter to us, to Christ Church. We love all of you ladies. I would say in some cases, this is what we noticed on the mission field, ladies are more committed at times. I saw more single ladies on the mission field than men. If we were to take stock on how these ladies had responded over the last 24 hours with Jesus and his crucifixion, and then how these disciples responded, which ones would appear more faithful? Which ones would appear more bold? Which ones would appear more obedient, more loyal, more sympathetic, more loving? Is that the reason why Jesus appears to them? We're not told. Dr. MacArthur says that perhaps the only reason why Jesus approaches them and appears before them is because they were present and available. And isn't that so true about each of us? Just show up and God will do the rest. Just open up the Word of God and spend time reading. And you know what? The Word of God will speak to you. The Holy Spirit will use it. Come to church. Not because the pastor has anything great to say, but because of the one who is speaking through the Word of God. Not the pastor. He's the vessel that the Lord uses. Just as he's using these ladies in such a significant and important way. And then we see that they respond similarly to the ways that the guards respond, do they not? As we see that they too are scared. Notice that the angel appears and he's like lightning and his clothes are as white as snow. Why? Because he has been with God Almighty. And it's not his own holiness, it's not his own glory, it's not his own purity, it's not his own holiness that is being represented in all the white. It is the holiness of God, meaning the fact that God is separated from sin and that he is perfectly perfect in all that he is and all that he does. And that rubs off on these angels to such an extent that if you and I saw them right now, we would freak out. We would be scared. That is what you see time and time again, whether somebody's a believer or not. There's an aspect to angels where they're kind of scary. But they are God's messengers. And they are sent to not scare these ladies, right? Even though they respond in fear. Instead, notice that the angel doesn't speak to the guards. Why? Because they're like dead men. They're gone. But he speaks to the ladies. And the first thing that he says is, don't be afraid. Literally, that's a command. It could be stop trembling. When it says that the guards shook, it's the same word for earthquake. That's what they were doing. That's the normal response. This is God's grace sending this angel to them. And it's difficult to know exactly what the timing is, but it would seem that as this angel appears, and as he moves the stone, it is at that time when the earth shakes. You can't even tell from this text that the ladies even knew that the ground was shaking. But I'm sure the guards knew. So the angel says to them, do not be afraid. Why were they not to be afraid? Because Jesus Christ had risen just as he said that he would. Notice here that even with the stone being rolled away, what was the reason for the stone being rolled away? Was it so that Jesus could get out? No, the angel said that Jesus was already gone. So why did the stone need to be rolled away? So that the ladies could get in. So that all those who would be eyewitnesses that Jesus was no longer there, so they could go in and see for themselves. And the ladies go in and they see with their own eyes exactly what happened. And I think at that point, that reassures them even more and gives them more confidence. Oh my, are you kidding me? The angel's right. Jesus did raise from the dead. And man, look at his clothes. What happens when you take off your PJs? You just usually throw them on a clump on the ground, right? Jesus' burial linens were nothing like that. It isn't even like he somehow got up and unwound them off of himself. It says in the other gospel accounts that they were exactly in the same way as they were upon his body. There's only one way that they could be left that if Jesus went right through the grave clothes. Jesus' body is not like our body when he comes back in the resurrected state. He has a glorified body now. And it doesn't follow the normal physiological restrictions that we have. He can go through walls. He can go through clothes like that. All to remind them that he is alive. That's what the angel is reminding them. And then the angel gives them a task. And he says, I want you guys to take this news that Jesus is alive back to the guys. And they would have been most likely about a 2-mile jaunt away. And so we see them taking off on their trip. As he tells them to go quickly. And we see that they left. And they left according to just like he said. And they left the tomb. Verse 8. And how did they leave the tomb? Quickly. Why? Because they were excited. They now had this incredible message to relate. To let the disciples know. You guys won't believe it. Jesus rose just like he said he would. But isn't it strange that the way that they're depicted is the way that they leave is quickly with fear and great joy. Can you have those two emotions at the same time? Well, I would say that some of those that are going to be baptized today, later, they probably have those same two emotions mixed right now. Fear and great joy. Excited about going forward in obedience to Christ and being baptized today, but scared to death about standing up in front of all of you. Or how about this? Have you ever been in a near accident where you thought, oh man, somebody was just going to take you out. And you slam on your brakes, maybe even you close your eyes, just waiting for it to hit. And nothing happens. And after that, what? What emotions are you going through? You're still winding down on your fear. The fear is still present, but there's now this other emotion of what? Joy. You're ecstatic over the fact that you didn't just get pounded. That is what these ladies are feeling. They're still coming off of the emotion of the fear of coming face to face with this angel and recognizing at the same time the joy that what Jesus said is indeed true. And just as you think it could get no better for them, it gets better for them. As notice, they're not going to find Jesus. Instead, he finds them. And that's why they are the found. And that's why any of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are the found. That he finds us. He seeks us out. He calls us to himself. Notice how sweet this is. And behold, verse 9. In the Greek, that means, check this out. It's a word of emphasis. Jesus met them and greeted them. Okay, I don't want to geek out on Greek, but this is so cool. Do you know what greet them means? It's like the most general, normal word you can use for, hey, what's up? No, check out my hands. Look at my body. Hey, I did what I said I was going to. There's nothing of that. Instead, Jesus just comes to them so matter-of-factly. And he approaches them and he just says, hey, ladies. Maybe with a little smile. Why? To prove to them that what he said was going to happen did indeed happen. And while Jesus is greeting to them is the normal, general kind of greeting. Their response is nothing like that. Look at how they respond. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. How do you take hold of someone's feet? And unless you're like a gymnast, and you can bend without bending your legs, and you can just reach down and hold on to someone's feet, it's understood. You have to at least get on your knees. But it could be understood that they're prostrate, that they are flat out in front of Jesus, lying down in front of him. Why? Because they recognize who he is. And all they can respond with is worship to the Lord, their God, who is now standing in front of them. And so what do? They do what you and I should do. They grab his feet. They have to grab onto something. And since they're down already, because he is the Holy One. And so they grab his feet, and then they worship him. Is that your response this morning? That is what we've come to do this morning, to worship Jesus Christ, to remember his glorious resurrection, to rejoice in his goodness to us, giving us that grace. But notice, even here, we see the Great Commission. No wonder why it goes right into the Great Commission after this. Because Jesus says the same exact things that the angel says to them. Why? Because Jesus gave the angel the words to say. Because angels represent God. They are servants of God, sent by God to do his bidding. And so what does Jesus say? The same thing the angel says. Hey, don't be afraid. What would they be afraid of? They can't be afraid anymore of him. They're afraid like you and I are of telling people about Jesus. Why? Because Jesus just got crucified. And they know to align themselves with Jesus is going to bring them some hurt. They probably know that the men are locked away in a house for fear of the authorities. And Jesus is letting them know, don't worry about any of that. Just think of me. And tell the men to meet me in Galilee. That's where it all started. That's where I'm going to meet them. But notice, he doesn't say tell the men. This is so sweet and so encouraging, especially if you spent time thinking the last week about Peter and his denial of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you think about all the men and how they basically abandoned Jesus Christ and left him and ran away. And yet Jesus doesn't call them the deserters. Tell my deserters to meet me in Galilee. Tell those traitors, meet me in Galilee. Tell those lame guys of yours to meet me in Galilee. No, what does he say? Tell my brethren. We don't talk like that. But what does he mean? Tell my brothers. Tell my family. Sisters, you're my family. We are one. Tell them we're all going to be together again. And I want to see you all in Galilee. Now, he meets them before Galilee. But what a blessing to be reminded this morning that no matter whoever you are and whatever you've gone through, that Jesus' grace is enough. His love for you is enough to overlook whatever you've done and to forgive you, because he has forgiven them even before he has any kind of interaction with Peter. He's already welcoming him into the family again, saying, hey, you're my brother, Peter. And what a blessing that is. So let me end our time with this. Have you received eternal life from Jesus Christ? Have you believed in him and believed in him alone for salvation? This morning, we're going to respond and we're going to sing some songs. And then we're going to have three of my friends come, and they're going to give public testimony that they have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and now they want to be identified with him. They want all of us to know, man, he is mine, and I am his. And they're going to do this through water baptism. They're going to stand before us all and say, Jesus is my Redeemer. He's my Savior. And our prayer this morning is that all of you this morning would say the same thing, that you would believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is your Savior, that he lived a perfect life, that he died upon the cross, not for his own sins, because he's sinless. He's God. But he took on human form and flesh so that he could suffer as a man for sin. And all those that would believe in him would have eternal life. Okay, I said I'd end our time with scripture, so let's turn to John chapter 11. And we would love to talk to you. I would love to talk to you, Pastor Shane, Pastor Eric. If you have decided this morning to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, or if you want to talk more about it, please come forward and talk to one of us after the service. We'd love to sit down with you, spend time with you, give you a Bible if you don't have one. Look at what Jesus says in John chapter 11. Let me wrap everything up with this. This is Mary and Martha after their brother Lazarus has died. He's been dead for 4 days. Jesus shows up. And Jesus has this conversation with Martha. And Martha says, hey, if you had been here, Jesus, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus is going to rock her world. And he's going to let her know this. Jesus said to her, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Why was that so shocking? Because he's letting her know, hey, even if Lazarus died, if he believes in me, even though he dies, he will never die, Martha. Get this, I can raise him from the dead. In fact, I'm going to raise him from the dead, but he's going to die again. Lazarus isn't here and alive right now. He died. There's only one who died and then rose again, never to die ever again. That is Jesus Christ. And as such, he is the only one who can offer us that eternal life. That life that you can die here today and know that you will not die, but you will live forever because of him. And that is good news. That's why we call it the gospel, because it is such good news. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. We're going to talk about this with baptism. Those getting baptized, it doesn't make them saved. It's because they're saved that they step forward in baptism. Belief comes before baptism. And then on the basis of God saving you and you believing in him, you come forward in baptism and say, yes, I believe in him and I want everyone to know. All right, let me pray. Heavenly Father, we stop and we thank you. We thank you for this glorious day, remembering what your son did. That you, Lord Jesus, rose from the grave. You didn't have to have the stone rolled away. You went right through the stone or right through the mountain. You could go right through anything. And you died after you had paid the full price for sin. And we are so thankful that you did. And Lord, for those of us who know you already as our Savior, may we praise you all day long, all week long, for what a wonderful and great God that you are. And may we live our lives for you, for your praise, serving you all of our days. And for any here this morning that are still the lost, that have not been found, Lord, I pray that you would bring them to yourself, that you would meet them today and allow them to turn from their sin to you. Acknowledge that they are a sinner, that they are in need of help, and that you are the only help, you are the only Savior that can save them from their sins, and that they would believe in you for eternal life, Lord. We love you and we thank you for this day, for this time, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.